You're listening to SBS News.
The World Health Organization says that more than half of the European population could be infected with the Omicron variant of COVID-19 in the next 6 to 8 weeks. 7 million new cases of Omicron were recorded across Europe in the first week of January, with the case rate more than doubling in just 2 weeks. The WHO's Europe director, Dr. Hans Kluge, says he's greatly concerned by what's unfolding, adding that if countries don't prepare, their health systems will almost certainly be overwhelmed.
For countries not yet hit by the Omicron surge, there is a closing window of opportunity to act now and plan for contingencies. Omicron moves faster and wider than any SARS-CoV-2 variant that we have previously seen.
Dr. Kluge called for countries to mandate the use of masks indoors and to prioritise vaccination, including booster doses for at-risk populations. Recent studies suggest that Omicron is less likely to make people seriously ill than previous COVID-19 variants. But Omicron is still highly contagious and can infect people even if they are fully vaccinated. France's Health Minister Olivier Véran warned last week that January would be tough for hospitals. He added that Omicron patients were taking up conventional beds in hospitals, while Delta was putting a strain on ICU departments.
We will be registering another 350,000 new infections tonight or even a bit more. We have never seen similar figures since the start of the health crisis. I talked about a tidal wave. This expression has reflected the number of infections. We have seen several consecutive days with more than 200,000 or 300,000 cases, and today will not change this extremely impressive count.
Les Français ont été très courageux. Tout le monde s'accorde à le dire.
In the latest reporting period, France recorded over 368,000 new cases, a new daily record, and 341 new deaths from COVID-19. Italy has detected more than 220,000 new cases in the last day, as well as 294 deaths. There has been a surge in the number of children being admitted to COVID-19 wards as well. Alberto Villani is the director of the Paediatric Emergency Unit at Bambino Gesù Hospital in Rome, Italy's largest paediatric hub. He says that over the last 6 weeks, the average number of children hospitalised with COVID-19 has tripled.
Here at the Bambino Gesù Paediatric Hospital, we initially had 20 beds dedicated to COVID-19 patients. This was what was ruled by the Lazio region for Rome. Today, instead, we have 61 hospitalised children and 5 of them are in intensive care units. Therefore, we passed the initial threshold, but we can handle these numbers thanks to the fact that we had the chance to extend the number of beds in our hospitals.
Dr. Villani explains that there are multiple reasons behind this surge in pediatric COVID-19 cases.
Why this increase? The main factors are two. First of all, children could not be vaccinated until a few months ago. The vaccination for the 5 to 11 age group started a few weeks ago. Children, together with those who decide deliberately not to get vaccinated, are the main basis of circulation of the virus. Nowadays, for SARS-CoV-2, the best means to travel around is either non-vaccinated people or children.
Elsewhere, hospital numbers are also rising. Stricter pandemic measures are to be introduced in Sweden in response to a rising number of COVID-19 cases and pressure on the health system. In the United Kingdom, a number of hospitals have declared critical incidents due to staff absences and rising pressures caused by coronavirus. In the latest reporting period, the UK identified more than 142,000 confirmed cases of the virus and 77 deaths. It comes amid revelations that Prime Minister Boris Johnson and his staff flouted coronavirus lockdown rules by holding a bring-your-own-booze garden party in 2020, while Britons were barred by law from mingling outside the home. In response, opposition politicians have called for a police investigation after the broadcaster ITV published a leaked email invitation to drinks in the garden of the Prime Minister's Downing Street office and residence in May of 2020. The event took place in the same day that the government reminded people at a televised news conference they could only meet up with one person. Lindsay Jackson, who represents the Bereaved Families for Justice group, says at that time she couldn't even go to her own mother's funeral.
I just had her funeral. I wasn't able to be with her when she died, wasn't able to hold her hand. I enjoyed the lovely weather that was spoken about in that email by sitting in my garden on my own and contemplating, waiting for her to die when she had COVID, waiting for her funeral, not being able to go and even pay my respects to her body. My mum was a very popular woman. There would have been hundreds of people who wanted to say goodbye to her. And there were seven of us.
Dr. Simon Longstaff is the Executive Director of the Ethics Centre. He told SBS that populations are becoming more and more fatigued at the continued restrictions and are starting to become resentful at being asked to make sacrifices that leaders themselves seem unwilling to make.
It clearly destroys trust in a very fundamental sense, and it destroys it at the worst possible time. You've not only got the original offence, which is to be a hypocrite in terms of imposing upon others restrictions you won't accept for yourself, but you've got that then compounded by lying about it when challenged. So what happens in these circumstances, particularly as people become more and more fatigued, is that they become resentful, that they are being asked to bear a disproportionate burden compared to those who seem to be making the rules.
The direct repercussions of this can be seen clearly in some protests and demonstrations being held against lockdown measures and vaccine mandates. Dr. Longstaff says that increased mistrust in government is the perfect breeding ground for conspiracy theorists.
If you lose trust in the authorities who are hopefully giving you the best possible advice, both in your interest and the interest of the community within which you live, if that all starts to shatter, then a conspiracy theorist who can make wild claims with never having to actually prove them, they come to the fore and they start to cause a fracturing within society. So the danger in all of this is partly to do with issues like COVID and vaccines and a whole range of other things around it. But it's broader still because it opens the door for more and more of these people on the fringes to start to get a foothold in the public mind, because once they stop trusting the source of authority, if you like, whether it's government or medicine or other things, then they start to listen to these other voices who are not so easily challenged.
In the United States, vaccines have become a heavily politicised issue, with a growing number of conservative politicians accused of spreading false and misleading claims about the safety and efficacy of inoculations. This week, Dr. Anthony Fauci and Kentucky Senator Rand Paul got into a heated exchange during a US Senate hearing. Dr. Fauci was testifying about the highly contagious Omicron variant and the US government's efforts to contain the spread. The nation's top infectious disease expert accused the Republican senator of trying to raise campaign funds by falsely attacking him, saying that Mr. Paul was responsible for heightening the danger.
What happens when he gets out and accuses me of things that are completely untrue is that all of a sudden that kindles the crazies out there, and I have life that threats upon my life, harassment of my family and my children with obscene phone calls because people are lying about me.
This latest blow-up began when Senator Paul accused Dr. Fauci of trying to attack three scientists who claim COVID-19 originated in a Wuhan, China lab. Dr. Fauci shot back that Mr. Paul was distorting everything about him and insisted that the senator, in usual fashion, was misrepresenting what he said. All this as the WHO predicts that cases are still yet to peak. For health and support measures currently in place in response to the COVID-19 pandemic in your language, visit sbs.com.au/coronavirus. Tina Quinn, SBS News.